Hey, everybody, quick announcement. We're doing a second CMP study. Starting May 6th, it's a total win-win. You get to come into League if you qualify for the study, go through the first 8 weeks of League, which we call the 8-week parenting pivot. It's this incredible deep dive of implementing Connect Method parenting. And we get to follow your progress to show the impact Connect Method parenting is having on parents who implement it in their home. So it's a total win-win. All you've got to do is apply for the study before May 6th, because that's when it closes, because that's when we're starting it. There's a link in the show notes. So you just click that link, answer some questions. If you pre-qualify, we'll reach out to you, confirm that it's a good fit, and then we'll be off to the races. So if you've been waiting for an opportunity to jump into League, but you've been hesitant for whatever reason, see this as your sign. It's your time to jump in. I would be so grateful, because my mission is to get CMP out to more people. And part of that process is collecting statistical data showing how it works for people in their home in real situations. So it would be such a blessing for me if you feel inspired to participate in the study. And it would be such a win for you, because you will be able to have access to the tools to shift from corrective to connective parenting. Now, this is only available until May 6th, so jump on it while you can. And if you're not interested in participating in the study, but you would like to start implementing Connect Method parenting, you want that assistance to guarantee you success, League is open for general traditional sign up as well. So you can sign up that way as well. You don't have to participate in the study, but both will close May 6th. So whether you are entering the traditional way or through the study, May 6th is the deadline, and we're not going to reopen until July or August for another round of League. I don't know if we're going to do another CMP study. We'll just have to wait and see. So now is the perfect time to join. And I just wanted to let everybody who's listening to the podcast know about this opportunity, so that you don't go 2 more months and not have the help that you need. And real quick, before we get to the episode, I thought it'd be really fun to share some thoughts from people who just completed this study.
I just can never express how great this has been and how thankful I am. It's been everything. It's been so good.
Like, are we only 2 weeks in? It's like night and day already. There's just been this total shift.
I feel like our hearts are like so connected. Thank you. I'm so grateful.
I really, really see the change.
So fun. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. So if you're ready to create a change in your parenting, you're ready to go from corrective to connective parenting, I would love for you to come participate in the study, or you can come in traditionally, but you got to get your application in before May 6th, because that's when we're closing the doors. And the results, by the way, were so incredible from the first study. I am going to do a whole podcast episode about it to let you know what happens when we implement Connect Method parenting, now that we have the data to support that. But we want a bigger base to pull from, so that we have hundreds and hundreds of moms that have gone through this study, maybe even thousands. So if you are feeling inclined, come join us in the study. And if you have any questions, reach out to us at hello@connectmethodparenting.com, and we'll get back to you. All right, on with the show. Here's the problem. We have been taught as a society that we should be striving for a picture-perfect life with positive emotions. Welcome to the Connect Method Parenting Podcast, where correction is out, connection is in, and your kids want to listen to you. I'm Andy Martineau, creator of Connect Method Parenting, here to help you stay calm, confident, and connected no matter what. Hey, everybody. Andy here. Thanks for joining me today. It's going to be an amazing podcast about negative emotions. Are you guys ready? Stay tuned. Don't jump off. It's going to be a good one. I've been sitting in a lot of negative emotions this week. I'm realizing as my kids get older that they want to move on with their lives. And so I have 2 Beckys selling and working. I have a daughter in France for a study abroad. I have one of my sons is in Chile doing service. And 2 of my girls are in Arizona visiting cousins and their grandparents. And I am finding myself home alone with my amazing husband and our sheepadoodle. But it's just really different. And especially when my 21-year-old left for France, she had been home for, I don't know, 6 weeks in between the end of the semester. So she let her contract go. So she had 6 weeks where she came and lived at home before she went to France. And they were magical. She hasn't lived at home for a long time. She was home a little bit during COVID, but this was just so special. And we would go to the gym together and take our dog on a walk on a trail by our house and just hang out. And so when she left, it was the end of an era because she's not going to come back and live at home when she gets back from France. So there was a grieving. There was a grieving process of me just dealing with the reality of a significant change. And I walked our dog. I'm going to get emotional just thinking about it. But I walked our dog the day after she left, or maybe that night, and I just cried. I just cried because I thought of all of the amazing talks we had had, and we got a ton of snow here this winter. And so the path that we walk on during certain parts of the 6 weeks she was here was overflowing with water. So we just decided we were going to walk it anyway. And so we walked it freezing cold. Our feet would turn numb, and it was a 4 mile round trip walk. So we would walk through the water periodically throughout the 4 miles, and our feet would be wet most of the time. And we just had the best time. And it has brought up a lot of negative emotions. So I want to talk about the power of negative emotions and how they really actually serve us. I'm not saying they feel amazing in our body, although I will say the more comfortable we get with negative emotions, the more comfortable they feel in our body. We don't make them mean something terrible. But what I think we often forget to talk about when we're talking about negative emotions is how important they are in our life. They are not something to avoid. So hold on to the reins, everyone, because we are talking about negative emotions, how really there's no such thing as negative emotions, how embracing negative emotions make them a whole lot less negative, and how they actually are so important to allowing us to experience the positive emotions in our life. So ultimately, I wish we weren't categorizing them as positive and negative emotions. I think it's far too simplistic. I don't think it encompasses the true beauty and essence of the emotions. I wish we just called them contrast of emotions. But I will be using the label negative emotions primarily because that's the label we've come to agree upon as a society. And when I use that word, people will know what I'm talking about. But I want to say right from the beginning that I don't believe in negative emotions. I think they're just emotions, and that our experience of them is beautiful and important for us to feel the human experience that we're supposed to feel here in this life. Coming off a week with a ton of what you would classify as negative emotions and me sitting in them, I didn't feel like they were bad as I was feeling the despair and the grief and the sadness that I felt as my kids have been slowly trickling out for this period of time and doing some other things. They will all eventually come back. But right now, it just seems like everyone's out exploring and living a beautiful life. And I'm really grateful for all of the things they're able to experience. And even though that's amazing and wonderful, there are experiences that each of them are experiencing as they're out doing different things, whether they're visiting family or they're working or they're serving or studying, that is bringing up a lot of what you would classify as negative emotions too. So there has been a lot of negative emotions in my family lately. I don't see that as a bad thing. I see them as a gateway to growth. And so even though it's sometimes hard to see the people you love the most or see yourself experiencing them, they are very, very important. So here's the problem. We have been taught as a society that we should be striving for a picture-perfect life with positive emotions. A lot of people misinterpreted positive psychology. Maybe there were some things in there that weren't true. I haven't studied it deep enough to make that statement. But what I will say is I think people have taken the elements of positive psychology and turn them against ourselves into thinking we should always be feeling positive and we should never lose our cool and we should always feel happy care about bear land, as my good friend talks about it. If you're a child of the 80s, I think it's the 80s, maybe it was the 90s as well, but care bears were a big thing and it was about being happy. And I love that. I'm not saying you shouldn't try to be happy and that you shouldn't be positive. Those are essential parts of life. They're essential parts of parenting. But to think that we can stay in a constant state of positivity really sets us up for more negativity, ironically. So it's not about suppressing or avoiding negative emotions, which most of us tend to want to do. We want to resist negative emotions. It's about opening ourselves up to them. And I'm going to say this again and again, but the more you open yourself up to negative emotions and welcome them in as part of the human experience, the less negative you will feel. So we tend to believe that we should be happy a lot. And this is such a big misconception. Being alive on this planet, being a parent of children of any age, whether yours are tiny or getting big like mine, mine are 15 to 23 right now. So they're moving up in the age range. I have 4 out of my 6 that are legally adults. So it's interesting to reflect back on the whole experience. But what I have noticed is a constant in my life and in their life is we are constantly experiencing all of the emotional states. Now, it might not be every day. It's 50% positive, 50% negative emotions, but we are experiencing. If you're new to Connect Method Parenting, I have a great way for you to get started. I created a free course that covers some of the biggest challenges parents are facing and how Connect Method Parenting solves them. In an hour, we're going to talk about why parenting is so hard, how to get your kids to want to listen to you, how to stop yelling and losing your cool and become that calm, confident, connected parent for good. It's the fastest way to get started using connection as your go-to tool for influencing and impacting your kids. Go to cmp.works/course to get instant access today. The negative and positive emotions 50% of the time each way, 50-50 split-ish. However, like I said before, if the negative emotions have become less negative, it doesn't necessarily feel bad that you're feeling sad or disappointed. It just becomes very neutral, and it can even be a positive thing. This week, as I was walking down the trail, bawling my eyes out, walking my dog, thinking about all the amazing talks I had with my daughter before she left for France, I was all in on the experience. I didn't classify it as bad or negative. I just classified it as this is what happens when you love someone deeply. When we love someone deeply, we are going to grieve deeply when they're not with us. We're going to have sadness if they're in pain because we love them so much. So I saw that experience as one of abundance and gratitude. I was grateful for it, even though it was at the same time heart-wrenching and I was feeling a lot of emotions in my body. Parenting and living our life is not about experiencing what we have come to call positive emotions all of the time. It's about experiencing emotions all of the time and really learning to feel our emotions all of the time. That is the key. This morning, that same daughter I was talking about that's now living in Paris messaged me. We've been going back and forth on WhatsApp, which is the app they use in Europe. It's actually quite cool. So we've been messaging and talking about science and emotions, actually, neuroscience and chemicals in our body. And I've been sending her information and podcasts and books, and we've been going back and forth because she's up against a lot of new things. And so, and we always talk about this stuff because I geek out on it all of the time, but it's been really fun to even have more of those discussions with her. So this morning after she and I had a discussion, she said, and I'm going to read what she said. She says, it's super good to depersonalize things in a healthy way, like understanding why we're wired the way we are without making it mean anything about us. And I typed back in all caps, yes, I love science, !! Because I truly do. When we understand the science of emotions, we understand the nervous system and how it's trying to protect us and keep us safe. All of the sudden, these emotional states we're in make so much sense, and they're not about us and they're not about our kids. They're about being a human, and it's not about stopping the negative emotions. It's about learning how to use them to fuel our life in a really productive way. These emotions are like the fuel in a car. You wouldn't put diesel fuel in a car that takes unleaded. It would be inappropriate fuel for the car. It wouldn't work properly. The emotions that we are given in our life, if we resist them, it's like we're fighting against the fuel that is there to make our life the best version of it. We're turning the emotion into diesel if we take unleaded, and it doesn't work and it's not effective, and we're gonna break down like the car would break down. But if we can see that unleaded, this is, might be a stretch, but go with me on this, guys. If we can see that unleaded, it includes the positive and negative emotions. There's different components in the gasoline. I have no idea what they are. I see the ethanol sign. I have no idea what that is. But I know there's different things that are put together to make gasoline. And that's like the positive and negative emotions that are put together to make our life. We can't just have one. In fact, if we only had one, and everyone around us was happy and lovely, we wouldn't even know it. We wouldn't even know what happiness was. It would just be what is. We wouldn't have any contrast. And if we were winning the lottery and finding perfect love and the weather was always perfect, we wouldn't even be able to appreciate it because we'd have no contrast to compare it against. So there's no happiness without experiencing the opposite. We often forget this simple truth and we try to push away any form of unhappiness, any form of disappointment or fear or frustration. We look at other people's lives through their social media accounts and they're not real, you guys. Instagram is filtered to highlight the happy, cheery parts. I'm not saying there aren't people who are posting real stuff on there, but more often than not, we're not seeing the full picture of someone's life. And I think that's okay, but I think when we think we are, then we are fooling ourselves into believing the reality of what's really happening in their life. And we fall into this trap of thinking that we've got to hit this standard of perfection and positivity that isn't even healthy for us. Going back to my gasoline unleaded analogy, if they took out some of the components in gasoline, I'm guessing it would not be stable or it wouldn't be as effective. You need all of the different components to make it an effective fuel. And we need all of the different components of emotion, all the different states of emotion to make it an effective fuel for us to really progress and to become the best version of ourselves. So if you are a gasoline expert, and I have botched that analogy, forgive me. Hopefully it illustrated the point and it may or may not have been scientifically sound, but that wasn't the point. It was about showing us the value of welcoming all the emotions, because as far as our brain is concerned, we need them all to mature and become the most emotionally intelligent and resilient version of ourselves. So here's what I want to emphasize again, in case you haven't heard me already. Negative emotions are not our enemy. They are an integral part of the human experience and the parenting experience. And when we accept this truth and we can find relaxation and peace within ourselves and extend that understanding to others, we are going to be able to live a more conscientious and fulfilled life. It's so common to expect our kids to be pleasant and happy and yay, do everything you ask. And if not, there's something wrong with you. And we tend to get frustrated if they don't just wake up cheery little souls or want to do their chores with a pep in their step, don't have a good attitude when we tell them it's time to get ready to go to grandma's or something. Like, we want them to be on this perfect high emotional level all of the time. And we also do that to ourselves. We have these expectations of ourselves, thinking we should be positive and constantly happy and grateful, and that there's something wrong if that's not the state that we're in constantly. But this is not realistic or healthy. A fulfilling life involves embracing the contrast in our world. And that includes the negativity. It means we need to love all the elements emotionally, but also if we expand it beyond that, understanding the contrast of seasons, the contrast of the rainy season, the dry season, when it's cold versus hot. There's contrast in all parts of nature that are showing us this very thing of embracing the ups and downs, the highs and lows, the feasts and famines, the times when the kids are here and the time when the kids are not here, which I'm learning to embrace. And there's adjustments, and I'm not saying it won't be challenging, but to not resist it or label it as negative or bad, instead just labeling it as part of life. When my kids come back, I'm going to appreciate them here and having my house full of children. I will appreciate it even more than before because this is a really unique time. I can't remember another time where all of my kids were gone at the same time without me there with them. And so it's really, really fascinating. And for me to be home while they're away. So to me, happiness isn't defined as the absence of negative emotions. It's defined as the joy we feel while nurturing our potential and overcoming obstacles. Think about it. When you're working towards something important, you're going to encounter challenges. And that's not always going to feel positive. It's going to feel crappy sometimes. But facing those obstacles and experiencing the negative emotions that are coming along the way, the challenges, the frustrations, the disappointment, the pain, the literal pain, will allow you to become the best version of yourself, allow you to become the connective parent that you want to become. All of those experiences, positive and negative, contribute to the richness and the beauty and the fulfillment of your journey. That's the truth. A lot of moms come to me and they say, I just want to be patient. I just want to be patient all of the time. And what they don't realize is that the way they become patient is by being impatient enough times, working towards the patience, but being impatient and course correcting, being impatient, course correcting, until eventually they've created for themselves a new way of being, a new neural pathway. They've created strategic byproducts or skills that have come out of this pursuit of patience, but it's riddled with impatience until it becomes the quality of patience that they want to have as their new foundational place. Oftentimes through the negative emotions that we learn and the negative experiences, and I don't love using the word negative, but you know what I'm talking about, the emotional experiences that don't feel so great that we have to overcome, that we have to learn to navigate through, that get us to the place of arriving at the new state, the new calm, connected, confident state. That is the truth. So by facing those obstacles, experiencing the negative emotions and challenges and situations along the way, you are becoming that next version of yourself, which is that connective parent that you want to become. And that will create the life you want. So let's bring it closer to home, let's bring it in a little bit. The beautiful chaos of parenting. When you become a parent, you are opening yourself up to so much love and joy, so much connection. You bring that baby home and you are just, oh, you're so in love with them. It's intense emotional connection. With that intense love and just connection with them, you also are exposing yourself to intense pain, disappointment, grief, frustration that comes along with parenting. They come hand in hand. If we love someone deeply, we will grieve deeply if we aren't able to be with them or if they're struggling. It's actually a beautiful sign and an indication of how deeply we love is how deeply it hurts when we are experiencing different things because of them or with them. So we wish that our children could just be happy all of the time. This is so present for me right now because my kids are all over the place right now and they're working and serving and studying and each in their own way having these difficult challenges, whether it's I've had 100 people say no to me today. Nobody wants to buy what I'm offering. Or I have all of these new people that are in my class and I'm having to meet them and it's overwhelming. Or I'm in a different country and I'm serving, but it's cold and I don't know the language and I'm trying to figure out how to communicate with people. They're up against something so challenging. And as I'm hearing it, there is part of me that wants to go to each of these children and just take away the burden somehow. I don't know how I would do that. My magic parenting wand, maybe, that I don't have. But there is part of me that wants to make their lives simple and sweet and pleasant and positive. And I was just talking with my husband today because there's especially one of our kids is really going through something rough. And I want to just bring him back and take him in and just push away everything that's happening right now. And our discussion was really about trusting in his ability to navigate this situation. This is what he wants. He's choosing it. It's going to be amazing for him. And trusting that I can trust him and trusting in my ability to just sit in the discomfort of seeing him struggle and continue to tap into what I believe he needs and how I can help and serve him while simultaneously just sitting in the discomfort and the terrible emotions of feeling helpless and feeling his pain in the way a mom can and trusting him. This is what we are up against as parents, is the deep love and connection comes simultaneously. It's a package deal with the grief and pain that we will experience as parents. And so we need to not only remind ourselves that this is natural and okay, and I would never want to love them less so that I would feel less pain. Never. I would take all of the pain that I needed to, all of the grief or the sorrow or the sadness that might come inside of me that I might experience because of the struggles they're going through, to feel the depth of love I have for them. And so when you think about it like that, of course I want the contrast. Of course I want to feel the whole array. I don't want to be shielding them from this. This is how they will grow. In fact, scientifically, they've shown that emotions are the engine to our maturation, that we are physically going through maturity, and that's a train we can't stop. But emotional maturity happens spontaneously, but it's not inevitable. It's something that happens when the conditions are right and when we have the opportunity to grow and experience all of the emotions and to know that all of the emotions are okay. And like my daughter said, to know that it's just biology. It's not a personal declaration of my character that I'm feeling sad or depressed or overwhelmed or mad. That is just something happening to my body that I can get curious about how I navigate situations, but to know it's there for me, not against me. Our negative emotions are there for us, not against us. So we need to remind ourselves that the ability to navigate negative emotions and the growth that comes emotionally as we are creating an environment where the emotional maturity can happen instantaneously, naturally, as it's supposed to, because the environment is conducive to that kind of growth, is the goal. It's not to be void of the negative emotions or the struggles. It's to create them and to support ourselves and our kids so that we can become the best version of ourselves, which comes from experiencing the full gamut of emotions. So we got to stop thinking they're bad. Negative emotions are not bad. They are the reason and the way and the fuel to grow up more and more. So if we're constantly shielding ourselves or our kids from negative emotions, we're trying to control their lives or prevent any discomfort, we are depriving them from this human experience. So we could stay in our comfort zones. I really wanted my son to come home and be in the comfort of my home this morning. And I want him to avoid all pain and discomfort and shield himself from the contrast of emotions that he's feeling right now. But I also know that even though part of me wants to do that, that would not serve him. And in doing that, if I was able to do that, he would be missing out on the growth and the opportunities and the human experience that this situation is presenting him. And I can trust that he's ready for it. So the more we're willing to embrace the ups and downs of life, the more we truly can become who we are meant to become. Let's talk about an important aspect of parenting: teaching our children how to handle negative emotions. So as parents, we are going to encounter lots of challenges like we've been talking about. And one of the things that will allow us to teach our kids how to navigate negative emotions is the skill set we've acquired to handle negative emotions. So let me just talk about a couple things that might get in the way of us handling or processing or feeling negative emotions. Because the better we are at knowing how to do it, then we can role model and teach our kids how to do it. So one of the things that might get in our way is avoiding negative emotions. And people avoid emotions in different ways. Sometimes we get food. I did not realize that sometimes I was eating food, specifically sugar, to avoid negative emotions until I caught on to myself. And just the other day, just going to be honest and vulnerable here, I was feeling a little bit stressed and anxious, and I decided to go for a drive with my sheep-a-doodle because all my kids are gone. And I went and got there's a shop that does flavored sodas, but they also do flavored waters, like sparkling waters. And I'm a big sparkling water fan. So they put in different, I don't know, pomegranate seeds and raspberry pulp or whatever into the sparkling water. So I went and got myself one, and I was in the drive-thru, and I'm like, I should also get, they sell cookies there. Like, I'm going to get a cookie too. I knew what I was getting the cookie was to avoid feeling. I wanted to feel better. And when we eat tasty, sugary things, we get a little dopamine hit and we feel better. So I totally caved. I ate the cookie. I didn't want to show my husband, so I tried to eat it before I came home. And then I hid it in the fridge and ate the rest of it that night. And I'm so embarrassed, but I'm just, you know, we're just going to tell it as it is. I was totally avoiding feeling some negative emotions. I was feeling crappy and I wanted to feel better. And that was a way to do it. Now, is that the end of the world? No, it's not the end of the world. It's fine. It's just not something I want to do unconsciously or do repetitively, because the goal is to really feel my negative emotions. Another thing, just so you know, you can hear about all the ways I do this, is I overclean or overorganize. So a couple of weeks ago, when all the kids had left just the day before, they had trickled out, but the final one had left the day before, or final two had left the day before, I spent the whole day organizing and cleaning and running to Target to get bins to put more things in so I could put them underneath in the storage area. And I was avoiding negative emotions. Now, we want to be on to ourselves what our favorite ways to avoid negative emotions are. And we want to recognize that sometimes we do need space. Sometimes we need to give our bodies and nervous systems time to calm down before we feel capable of feeling the negative emotions. If we are emotionally triggered and our nervous system is activated, it's possible that that will be a challenge, especially at first, for us to feel our negative emotions. So sometimes this is totally appropriate to give ourselves space. And if we're avoiding here or there, not a problem. It's just when it becomes habitual and we maybe stop even recognizing that's what we're doing, and we stop feeling the negative emotions because they feel so bad, that's when it becomes a problem. If we're doing it consistently, or if you're afraid of negative emotions and you aren't quite sure how to feel them, and so you're avoiding them by going to food, over exercising, over cleaning, or over organizing, you'd think that would not necessarily be a bad thing. But if we're doing it to avoid, if that's the motivation, then it's not serving us. So we want to be onto ourselves and really study our bodies, our reactions, and get into the habit of being onto ourselves. So when I totally snuck the sugar cookie, I noticed what I was doing. And later that night, I sat with the negative emotions and let them process. So don't judge yourself for however you're being, but the goal is that we're getting better and better at feeling our negative emotions. We're noticing when we don't want to feel them. We're catching our avoidance techniques that we're using, and we're trying to bring ourselves back to feel those negative emotions. And the more you practice this yourself, the better you're going to be at this skill of feeling your negative emotions, which means you'll be better at teaching your kids. One exercise that I recommend trying is setting aside 5 to 10 minutes every day, turning all the distractions of your life off, and just tuning into your emotional state and feeling what you're feeling and being totally present in those emotions and letting the emotions come out and exploring them and describing them and noticing them in your body. Highly recommend that. It's a powerful way to tap into the emotions you're feeling and also become more acquainted with them, less afraid. Embracing our emotions is a powerful skill set, and this is going to be something that you're going to be able to take with you to other experiences in your life. So practice feeling those emotions, and then you're going to be able to model this and help your kids. This is really important, giving you a little mandate. Go feel those negative emotions and don't make them feel so negative. It's an act of courage and self-compassion to do this. And when you learn to do this for yourself, you'll be able to start teaching your kids how to feel their emotions. And you'll be able to also have a bigger window of tolerance for their negative emotions. Meaning, if they're having an attitude or a meltdown, and you used to only be able to tolerate it for 2 minutes before you could feel your blood pressure rising, the better you get at just feeling those negative emotions in your body, you will be able to sit. Even if your blood pressure is rising and you're feeling the negative emotions come up, you're more comfortable with those negative emotions and you're able to sit in your body with them for a longer period of time without reacting to them. You can just notice them and let them be and not make them mean anything about who you are as a mom or what your kid is, and just sit there and honor their experience and be able to support them through their big emotional experiences, which is very important. I love that today we got to focus on negative emotions. It's something so present for me right now that it seemed like the perfect time to have this conversation. I really want to circle back to this point that there isn't any such thing as a negative, so to speak, emotion. They're just emotions. They're all here to benefit us. They're all here to serve us. And the faster we stop trying to avoid them, the faster we will be able to benefit from all of them, because emotions are truly our teacher and they can become our greatest asset. So if the worst thing that can happen to us is an emotion, it's truly the worst thing that can happen. We feel embarrassed because we flopped on stage. We feel frustrated that our kids didn't listen. We feel disappointed that the day got ruined because they started fighting. The worst that can happen, you guys, is an emotion. And if we're willing to be able to feel those emotions, if we can feel confident that it's not a problem to feel all of our emotions and nothing will stop us, we will be able to live the fullest version of ourselves. And as we are learning to do this for ourselves, we are teaching our children how to do it for themselves. One of the biggest paybacks of this is seeing our children not being afraid to go do difficult things or feel those negative emotions or have challenges in their life, because now they know nothing can stop them either. And that feels amazing for a mom. So let's make a pact that we are going to be emotional role models for our kids by embracing our emotions and teaching them how to navigate theirs and empower them to go have emotional resilience and empathy, emotional maturity that is off the charts, that will allow them to fulfill their potential and serve powerfully. So go out there this week, feel your emotions proudly, and create a world that is a little bit more emotionally mature. All right, we will see you next time. Bye, guys. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, come check out League, my Connect Method parenting coaching program, where we take this material and we apply it using my proven formula. Head over to cmp.works/join.